Out comes McDavid charging down the ice. He's got a stick. He's in. Backhand. Score. A beauty.
One and a half year here, getting me more confidence. For sure, I'm stronger and faster, and I feel like I'm growing up for person and player a lot. Feels like I'm like ready to get the new step for the NHL.
Now McDavid across the drive, settle, scores! 100 points for Leon!
We could learn from what we went through, and everyone's pissed off about it. I think that's the best way to describe it. But there's a taste in everyone's mouth that's very, that no one likes. We need to find a way to not have that taste. And we've had it 4 out of 5 years here. So, you know, we need to be better.
Hello, hello. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. And hey, we've got a new podcast that will help you get hockey smart. The Crosscheck podcast, hosted by Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, goes deeper into NHL stories than any other podcast with the help of the smartest minds on ice. Follow the Crosscheck podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. Coming up today, we'll get to tons of audios. The Edmonton Oilers met with the media today as they wrap up their season, losing 4-3 in overtime last night to the Winnipeg Jets. They do indeed get swept by a very good Winnipeg Jets team. We'll break down last night's game. We'll also get to tons and tons of audio as we're also going to wrap up the season throughout this week and then into the summer. Probably less podcasts than the usual. I mean, we'll come on for breaking stories involving the Edmonton Oilers, of course, and draft and free agency and all that, but definitely going to take a step back from the podcast. There's not a lot of news. You can only break down so many free agents and line combinations and what Kenny Holland has to do. So let's get to the game last night. Listen, I know we took some heat on the post game show because we weren't upset or angry, but it's hard to pile on after a game like that. I thought the Oilers started a little bit slow. You got a little bit worried after that first goal, but after 20, they're only down 2-1. They took some penalties. Leon with a dumb one, in my opinion. They flipped the script in the second as the Jets took 4 straight penalties. The Oilers outscore them 2-1, get one on the power play, and after 40, it's a 3-2 lead. And I mean, after what happened in game three, I don't think anyone was feeling confident, up only one goal, but the Oilers had an opportunity to close this one out. And just I don't want to keep piling on, like I said, but just a bad giveaway, I'll put it nicely, by Ethan Bear for the tying goal. And I watched this goal over and over again, and man, was it trying to make a pass in the middle of the ice to his blue line, gets picked off, and then that pass started a whole whack of mistakes here. Cuckoo comes flying by as Wheeler fakes the shot. Two guys go to Wheeler, and then two guys go to the guy in front of the net. He finds Scheifele, and it's a tie game. Oilers are still in a good spot. Hey, third time's a charm, we were all thinking. They go to overtime. It was a valiant effort. The Edmonton Oilers played their butts off. I mean, the Oilers had great opportunities. Draisaitl had a great look from the slot. Shore in all alone. Ennis with a good look. Nurse with a great chance as well. Mike Smith was freaking outstanding. But when Kyle Connor catches you pretty much on a partial breakaway, he's a hell of a sniper. So he made a count and he scored the winning goal. But Mike Smith was outstanding in this series. I mean, if I would have said if they were going to get swept that Mike Smith wasn't the problem, you probably would have been like, yeah, right. But Mike Smith, excellent. Darnell Nurse, 62-07, just outstanding game by him. And a lot of guys, they only rolled 9 forwards and 4 defensemen because after that tying goal, Ethan Bear and Slater Cuckoo didn't see the ice in the overtime. You saw Kyra out there for a PK, but that's about it. Chiasson didn't see the ice. McLeod didn't see the ice. So, hey, it is what it is. The Oilers tried very hard to get this game back to Edmonton. It just wasn't their night. And Winnipeg's got that magic, that playoff magic right now. Everything went right. They blocked a ton of shots. There's a great article out there by Dom from The Athletic on the officiating and how Connor McDavid didn't generate one call against himself. Even go back to last year's bubble playoffs, that's 8 straight games where he hasn't gotten a call, and it's ridiculous. I mean, yesterday, Kaori Yamamoto takes a penalty in overtime. Fair enough. It's a penalty. But then the Oilers were hauled down about 3 times. There was one where they were holding Draisaitl's stick right in front of the ref and they don't call it. It's ridiculous. And how Connor McDavid doesn't get one call, you're giving the advantage, like it's written in the article, to the lesser players. You're giving the advantage to the team that doesn't have that skill to catch up with McDavid or play with him, to third pairing defensemen, to bottom six forwards. It is, and it's true. And it's a great article. You should go read it, check it out at The Athletic. The officiating is just, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's the only league that doesn't protect their stars. Instead, they protect the plugs out there. And I couldn't believe it. I was reading it today, and the numbers were just mind-boggling. And he breaks it down. And it's not just Connor McDavid. Look at the other stars around the league. So the officiating, the NHL definitely has to take a look at it. And these guys got to stop managing the game. Call the damn rule book. That's it. Connor McDavid can't go 8 playoff games in a row without getting a call, because there's probably a penalty at least 2 or 3 per game on Connor McDavid, and you're punishing him because he's talented more and it has more speed than anyone else in the league. It's ridiculous. Anyways, I mean, when you look at the season, overall failure, sure. I mean, you got swept, so it's you can't be happy. I understand if you're frustrated, disappointment, angry, all those things. I mean, they were out, and we expected the Oilers to have a better showing in the playoffs. They need better depth players. Oilers' top guys were just okay. They need to be better. Dmitry Kulikov didn't work out. He wasn't very good in his short time here with the Edmonton. And once again, the Oilers lasted 6 days in the playoffs. Last year, they went Saturday to Friday. This year, Wednesday to Monday, and they're out. So I understand all the anger out there. Missed opportunities. There were close games, but they just couldn't find the way. This is going to be Holland's biggest offseason. He's got the money, and he's got to make this team better. This team needs to take the next step. You have Connor and Leon here. You got to start winning sooner rather than later. I mean, the good Mike Smith, outstanding, the dynamic duo for them, and this is as a whole, sky's the limit. Nurse took that next step. He was outstanding this season, and I had my doubts, but he shut me up. They got a good young D core. They got a lot of guys coming up as well. How about Adam Larson? Found his game. Can he keep it up here for another couple of years? We'll wait and see, but he was really good after a slow start. Jesse Puljujärvi has arrived, 15 goals, found himself, worked his way into the top six, and he's not going anywhere. And when he learns how to control that body and the stick, he's still a little crazy out there. He's going to be even a better player. And then the big question mark is Nugent Hopkins. What's going to happen? And Ryan McLeod, another young guy, along with Evan Bouchard, who are probably going to be regulars on this team next year. They played well when they did get the ice time. So it's not all doom and gloom, Oiler fans. Definitely, like I said, the Oilers need to get some work done this offseason. Need to find a left winger to play in the top six, whether it's with Dry or Lee or McDavid. Third line center, a legit one. You have to get a number one goaltender. Absolutely have to get a number one goaltender. And maybe find a way to get rid of that Neil contract, Mikko Koskinen contract. And I mean, the Turris one's low, so it doesn't really hurt you. But if you can move on from him, that would be a bonus. And then the hot takes are coming in. The Oilers got swept. Listen, no one's happy. But to suggest that, Nick Alberga, Greg Wyszynski, that the Oilers weren't upset in their presser after the game. Like, what are you talking about? How do you know all these guys feel? Why? Because they're not throwing their teammates under the bus, their coaching, or whatever. Like, get out of here with that stuff. Like, oh, they weren't that upset. Of course they were upset. Watch the presser today, and then you'll see pretty upset guys. Rod Peterson also saying there's a disjointed room, that they're not a team. I mean, how does anyone know that? Listen, and it was based off because Mike Smith kind of, his gesture towards Ethan Bear on that tying goal wasn't good, but he's done that all year. They're all big boys. Sorry. You made a horrible mistake. You can't get called out by an older guy on the team. All of a sudden, that's a problem. And how about Connor McDavid? The most expressive we've ever seen him last night, whether it's good or bad, yelling at a player on the bench, shaking his head at the Ethan Bear turnover. Hey, man, he's showing emotion. He's the leader of this team. That's fine. You think when the Oilers were playing back in the day, the Moose was the captain, that you had it easy, that he was just vanilla? Come on. People are making such a big deal about this. I love seeing that from Connor. And we will hear from Connor in the third segment. We'll play his full presser. He had some very interesting things to say. But in the end, guys, I know it's a failure. You got swept and you're out, and you didn't last very long in the playoffs. But overall, when we look at it as a whole in the regular season, they had some great seasons from a lot of good players. There was a lot of good signs. Is there improvements to the team? Are they needed? Yes, 100%. Can every player on this team get better? 100%. So it's hard right now to be positive, but looking ahead, we'll see what happens this offseason with the free agents, who they bring back, who they go out and get, who they trade for, who they draft, are the young guys, which young guys are going to be able to step into this lineup. So the Edmonton Oilers season is officially over. Finished finished second in the regular season and are out in the first round. And it's another long offseason for Oilers fans, but I do believe there are better times coming. You always have to lose. You always have to lose and go through heartbreak before you win. So Oilers fans, just something to keep in mind. All right, guys, we got tons of audio to get to, so we'll get to that in the next segment. I just want to throw this out there. Let me know what your overall feelings on the Oilers season. What needs to happen? What's the biggest priority in terms of positions for this team going into next season? All that fun stuff. And throughout the week, we'll hit on a different position. Maybe tomorrow we'll go goaltending and look at some free agents, maybe some trade targets, and also look at what they have in the system. So we'll do that for the rest of the week, kind of just break down what this team needs going forward. And Kenny Holland's going to be a busy man. So it's going to be a fun summer. And hopefully this podcast brightens your day a little bit on this Tuesday. I know it's a somber mood in Oilerland, but we just keep trucking along, and hopefully this team eventually in the next year or two gets us to that prime spot in the playoffs where we're watching them in the Stanley Cup Finals. All right, guys, up next, tons of audio from the Edmonton Oilers on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. It's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy Nicotine gum or lozenges. Go to lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code LockedOnNHL. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Right, we're back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Like I said, tons of audio coming. I'll give you some quick notes here from around the NHL. This one coming involving the Edmonton Oilers, and everybody's making a big deal about it as well. Wayne Gretzky is stepping down as vice chairman of the Edmonton Oilers effective today. He adds that given the pandemic and other life changes, I realize that I will not be able to dedicate the time nor effort needed to support this world-class organization. And he also says, the Oilers, their fans, and the city of Edmonton have meant the world to me and my family for over four decades, and that will never end. So that's Wayne Gretzky news today. No, and it has nothing to do with the Oilers being swept, you idiots. Games today, only two on tap. Montreal looks to tie the series at two as they host the Toronto Maple Leafs at 5:30. And then Carolina and Nashville battle it out in game five with the series tied at two. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. Maroon McDonough hit with maximum fines. And then Montreal also, Arturi Lehkonen, Eric Staal, and Jake Evans, all game time decisions for tonight. But let's get to the audio, as it was a busy one down at Rogers Place today. And we'll kick it off with Adam Larson as he chats about the season and the sweep at the hands of the Winnipeg Jets.
Well, I mean, like you said, I think this team, looking at this year, we've taken a lot of steps in the right directions. I mean, obviously right now it's still that sour taste in our mouth that what happened this playoff run. But I mean, it's throughout the regular season, I thought we did a lot of great things that the guys should feel proud about. And obviously when it comes to playoffs, we're playing three overtime games that could go either way. That's type of bounces you need in playoffs, and that's why the Stanley Cup is so hard to win. I mean, to moving forward, I mean, this is a young team still. If you look around the league, so it's a lot of growth still in this team, and it's a lot of young players that will keep continuing getting better. The team will keep growing. And I strongly believe that this team has something really, really good going here. So I think, it's disappointing right now, but if you look to the future, I think it's a bright future here.
More Adam Larson as he was asked about contract talks and all that heading into the offseason.
Well, I mean, I love it here. I love the guys, the city, the fans, everything. I just, to give you a better read on it, I honestly haven't heard much from my agent. I haven't talked to Ken in last month or so, but I guess on the exit meeting, we'll get a better picture where we're at right now, but who knows what the future brings. But like I said earlier, I love everything around this organization and everyone around it. So just leave it at that.
A few clips from Adam Larson is he had an excellent season, excellent bounce back season after a couple of not so good ones. And we'll see if the Oilers can find a way to bring him back. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins also met with the media. And he talked about the season coming to an end.
I think at this point, along with everybody else in the room, it's disappointment. It's a kick to the gut. It's tough to take right now. It's obviously still fresh. We got back under 12 hours ago. So it's hard right now. But at the same time, I think we did a lot of really good things in every game in the series, and we battled extremely hard every game. Every game was a one-goal game, three overtime games. Obviously, that means it can go either way. At the end of the day, we couldn't get it done, and that's the tough part to take right now.
And here's more Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's going to be the big fish on the market here. We'll see if it's the big topic here in Edmonton probably this summer, the biggest. What's it going to take to bring Ryan Nugent-Hopkins back? And I can tell you from working at TSN 1260, it almost seems like the fan base is split. There's that one that's like, give him anything he wants, just bring him back. And the other ones that are, is he really worth what the Oilers are going to end up giving him? And at the end of the day, no one knows what that is, but we'll wait and see. But here's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on what the future holds and free agency.
I mean, I think I've said it from the start. I love being an Oiler. I always have. My goal is always to stay an Oiler. And right now at this point, it's not really in my mind. I mean, I'm right now it's, I got a lot more in my head than that. So it's tough to kind of think about that and get my thoughts wrapped around that. But I think I've said it from day one that I love being an Oiler, and it's something that I've taken a lot of pride in over the last 10 years. And
yeah, so we'll see if the Nuge is back. He's been here for 10 years, not a lot of success, dark times early on in his career. Now he's got 3 playoff appearances, and I think he's got 21 playoff games under his belt with not a lot of success. So we'll see. I mean, sounds like he wants to be back, but it all depends on money and term and all that. So, that's going to be a big topic here going forward. Mike Smith, who was outstanding this year. I mean, nothing else you could say. He was fantastic in the regular season. I know they got swept, but he was really good in the playoffs. And here is the old guy on the triple OT game and his fantastic season.
It's everything you dream about as a kid, playing in triple overtime in the NHL playoffs. So it's obviously not the outcome we wanted, but playing overtime games in the playoffs is... there's nothing like it. Honestly, I came in on a mission, and a lot of things in the off season to, you know, set me up to have a really good year and to be prepared. And obviously having an injury before the season even started wasn't ideal, but it was one of the probably most consistent years I've had in a long time, and proved to myself and probably a lot of other people that I'm still capable of being a top goaltender in this league. And wasn't an ideal situation without the family here, but a lot of sacrifices were made, and by both my wife and kids, myself. But you know, I love playing this game. I love playing this game. I love that I can continue to play at a high level, even at my age, and still have the drive to want to compete at this level. And like I said, obviously disappointed on how it ended, but I'll be stronger because of it.
Bravo, Mike Smith. He was awesome this year, man. And I'm guilty of not having faith when they brought him back in this goaltending duo, but Mike Smith took over. So, I mean, we'll see what the future holds. He said he hasn't even thought about it. He's going to go home and see his kids and family and go from there and then take some time to decide what his options will be. And I mean, could the Oilers possibly bring him back? Yeah, I mean, it's definitely an option. Is it ideal? Probably not. I mean, if you can get rid of Koskinen, sure. And then you can find your number one goaltender, a younger guy that can be your guy for 5, 6, 7 years, right? So a lot up in the air when it comes to goaltending for the Edmonton Oilers. But Mike Smith, you were awesome this year. Let's head to the new dad. I forgot to mention this. Darnell Nurse posted on his Instagram, his fiance and Darnell welcomed in a baby boy today. Their first for that wonderful couple. So good on Darnell Nurse, who played 60 minutes last night, traveled back home and was there for the birth of his son along with his fiance. And that's awesome. And kudos to Darnell Nurse, a guy that I didn't know he could take the next step, and he certainly did. And he stuck it to Hernan once again, because this guy is legit. And I am totally on the Darnell Nurse bandwagon. But here is Darnell on becoming a dad.
It's great. Mom is healthy, the baby's healthy. So yeah, it's crazy. She had Aiden, our son, this morning, and it was an unbelievable experience. Something that so that I'm very happy that I was able to be there for. It was up in the air there for a bit. We were on FaceTime all day yesterday. She's at the hospital from yesterday morning at 9 in the morning till she's still there now, so I'll be going back to the hospital now. So yeah, it was a crazy day, crazy turn of events, and just blessed to have a healthy baby, and my fiance's healthy, so that's what matters.
It's awesome, man. Herdan's getting a little misty up in here. That's great to see. Congratulations to Darnell Nurse and his fiance as they welcomed in their baby boy this morning. So awesome news on that front. And here's Darnell Nurse just on the strides that his team took this year and kind of what needs to improve moving forward.
You go over a season as a whole, and I mean, even go over that series that we just played in, and we have a good team, a good team of good players, good people, good coaches, good management. Like, we have the right pieces. And then there's tweaks that go on, like with any team, but within our organization, I think if you're looking at this team, we have so much potential to be better. With that said, you look at what we did all year. We were a really strong team in our division in the league. So stings staying here and having been swept and out of the playoffs early. Definitely doesn't feel good, but I mean, as a team, as a group, we've definitely grown from the last time that we were playing in the play-in round against Chicago, and we need to continue to take these steps. You're not gonna go from out of the playoffs to winning a Stanley Cup. It doesn't happen very often. You need to continue to take steps and find your way into the playoffs year after year, and I think that's foundation, the base that this organization's created.
That was the new dad, Darnell Nurse, meeting with the media today. He's, like you said, he's heading back to the hospital to see the fiance and the baby. So congratulations once again to Darnell Nurse, and congratulations on an excellent season and a monster game last night. That was so cool to watch. A few more from the two big guys here. Leon Draisaitl also met with the media today, and he was asked if this is a project that he wants to see through.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. I'm not, and I know no one in our dressing room is thinking about, stopping now or quitting now. We're just getting started here. So, we've had a lot of tough times again, this playoff series included, but, like I said, we're building something. We're building something bigger here, and I think we're all just very excited for the future and thankful and happy that we get to be a part of it.
And sticking with this kind of theme here, Leon was also asked about the narrative out there that they continue to waste his and Connor McDavid's years and that they would want out at one point. Here's Leon on what he thinks when he hears those comments.
I don't care about that. We know we're on the right track. But with that being said, we do know that it's time for us now. We don't have another 5 years. Like, we're last 2 years were amazing and they're great, and we're We're building something bigger, but you got to take steps and steps. And next year, we're going to look to take another step forward and, you know, be an even better.
It's important what he said, where he's like, I don't care what they say. Obviously, they don't want to leave, but they do realize that they have to start winning now. And that's what you want to hear if you're an Oilers fan. And good on Leon for being transparent there and being honest. Yeah, like it's go time, man. It's go time. All right, guys, that was a lot of audio. We heard from Adam Larson, the Nuge, Dry, Mike Smith, and Darnell Nurse in the third segment. Who's sizzling for the last time? Game cliche. And we'll also hear from the captain of the Edmonton Oilers. This is Locked On Oilers Podcast with Hernan Salas. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their playoff runs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Tonight's season has wrapped up. The boys met with the media today. The head coach. We won't have head coach today. Maybe we'll play him tomorrow, but there's just so much to get through today that I was going to run out of time here. So maybe we'll hear from Dave Tippett tomorrow. And playoffs continue to roll. Two games today. Montreal hosts Toronto. Carolina at home to the Nashville Predators. And this just coming down the pipe for all those I'm sorry to be rude, but all those idiots that were like, oh my god, Wayne Gretzky left the Oilers because they lost. And so this just breaking right now, says hat tip to Andrew Marchand. Wayne Gretzky will join TNT's NHL coverage as a lead analyst, agreeing on a contract with the network that will pay him around $3 million per season. That is huge news there. Good on TNT. I know we talked about it weeks ago when we were like, who would be your panel? I did not see Wayne Gretzky being part of that panel, but when you have the best player in the world, the greatest player ever to play in the NHL, to be the lead guy on your panel, how much better can it get, man? Holy smokes, I'm intrigued to see who they're going to surround them with. But that's cool news, man. That's awesome. And I'll definitely be tuning in to TNT, especially if the great ones there. But let's get to another great player, as the captain of the Edmonton Oilers met with the media today. And he was very honest. And we're seeing a different Connor McDavid. We're seeing a leader emerge here, a more vocal, a more expressive leader. But here is the captain.
Just in listening to a number of your teammates before you, an incredible sort of commitment to seeing this through, putting some of the disappointments, including this series, behind you at some point and moving forward to the ultimate goal. And I just wonder if you could kind of reiterate how you feel about, that aspect.
Well, I mean, obviously it's still very fresh and very raw. It's only a few hours ago. So, obviously we got to get over it at some point and learn our lessons and move on and continue marching forward towards, obviously what we're working towards.
Connor, there's always a line between the frustration of not having playoff success, but at the same time being optimistic about the trajectory of the team. Where are you on that scale? Is it equal parts each? Or are you leaning one way or the other?
Well, obviously, it's a big offseason. I think we got a lot of decisions to make. I don't have to make them, but the higher powers do. So it's obviously a big offseason for us. So. Good year, I guess. Didn't finish the way we wanted to. We got to move forward.
Now, there's a narrative that's, usually comes from the outside that if, the Oilers don't start having playoff success, then Connor's going to become unhappy in Edmonton. I'm wondering if you could address where you stand on that, what your patience level is.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the case, obviously, at all. We have a great core here. Leon and Nursey, Nuge, Bars. I mean, these are guys that I've kind of grown up with, and we want to see this thing through together, and we want to do this thing right, as a group. It's special to be able to play with these guys, and I think it feels like we're light years away, but we're a lot closer than I think, it feels today.
Connor, it's an off season, and I know you said you don't have to make the decisions, but I mean, there's lots of cap space, and with that comes hope, but there's also uncertainty, and some of that core, there's question as to whether it's back or not. what's kind of your hope about and your confidence level that, that when you guys return next year, that the team will be ready to take steps forward?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the goal. I mean, that's you know, you want to get better each and every offseason. I think part of it is adding pieces. I think the other part of it is developing and continuing to grow your game, to grow, you know, everyone else's game, for everyone to continue to push to get better. You know, the Bouchards, the world, the McLeods, the world, like those are the guys that really need to come in and push and keep pushing us forward. You know, obviously I got another level I can go to. Leo's got another level, you know, everyone's got another gear they can get to. And together, I think that's what keeps us pushing forward. Obviously adding pieces is part of that. You know, but collectively, just finding another gear.
It would seem, based on playoff results or play in, that, you know, I mean, you're sitting here in another year doing an immediate availability where the, you know, it's not the result you want. So it would seem that things are stalled, but do you think that there's more progress happening within the organization than the playoff results indicate?
Well, I think the standard's gone up. I think that's, and that's, I mean, that's kind of where it all starts, right? I think, you know, the culture that, you know, we come to the rink every day and, you know, demand better from each other, you know, expect better from each other. I think if this was a couple of years ago, you know, we would be sitting here just so happy that we got to play four playoff games. I think that's definitely not the mood in here today. So, you know, we want more and we want lots more. So, you know, we want to continue to work together and obviously win a cup one day.
Connor, it interests me when you say you got another level to get to. Can you let us in on that? Like, you know, how are you going to get better?
I'm only 24 years old. You know, I got lots left. I got lots of ways to continue to, you know, grow my game in different areas, find different ways to have success. I think, you know, like I said, I'm only 24 years old and you know, it feels like I've been in the league a long time. But ultimately I'm still a young guy in this league and I have lots of good years ahead of me.
So we watched last night, obviously, you might've seen it by now, lots of visuals of you on the bench talking to people. Far more vocal than we've seen you before, Connor. You came in here as a young captain, I mean, maybe the youngest ever at the time, and you've evolved into a guy that's leading this team. Is there places to go in that level too? Did you take a step? Is what we saw last night on TV Connor McDavid taking a step as a captain?
Being a captain, you know, and this league is a job that you know, there's no guidebook to it. You know, there's no one telling you what to do and what not to do. So, you know, there's a lot of learning on the job. And like you said, I was very young when you know, I was able to wear the C, and you know, I'm still very grateful and humbled to be able to wear it for such an amazing organization. And, you know, I take that with a lot of responsibility, and, you know, being a leader is part of being a better player too. You know, there's lots of areas that I can get better, and that's for sure one of them.
How is the captain of the Edmonton Oilers, and I love his, I'm only 24 years old. Holy smokes. It's everything he's accomplished so far. I mean, in terms of the production we've seen in his season this year, and he's only going to get better. Same with Leon Draisaitl. So it's funny and good on him. I'm talking about the leadership that it's there's no book on it. There's no guide on how to do that. And it looks like he's becoming one hell of a leader, and just the questions about him wanting out and not seeing this through are all bogus. And you can tell, I mean, his tone is not a happy one, and nor should he be. So it's it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason. For the last time this season, guys, let's get to who's sizzling. for last night's game. You got to go with Darnell Nurse, 62-07. He had two shots on goal, two hits, six blocks, and he was a plus one. Just an outstanding season. And you know what? Screw that fizzling. There's been enough negativity this last week or so with the Oilers dropping four straight to the Winnipeg Jets. We will leave the fizzling out of this, but let's get to the game cliche, and here it is.
And that's playoff hockey.
Yeah, and that's we've heard a lot. The Oilers need to find another gear. The Oilers need to improve in the playoffs, and going forward, they're going to need better depth players and more helper Leon and Dreis. I keep saying that for Connor McDavid, and yeah, they're going to definitely have to improve. Some things didn't work out for Kenny Holland. Some did. Like, you look like a Josh Archibald, Devin Shore, excellent pickups. Gaetan Haas was really good in last night's game, and he's good overall. Things that didn't work out: Granlund, Kyle Turris, players like that, Dmitry Kulikov. Yeah, sure, it didn't work out, but he wasn't working with a lot. And now the pressure's on. This is going to be his team after this summer, and we'll see what he can do. But before we wrap up, guys, thank you so much for the downloads and the support throughout this season. I didn't always bring my best, but I hope I was able to entertain you throughout the season with all the little different things I do on this podcast and the guests and all that. And I want to thank all the guests for joining me throughout the season here. It was a unique season. It was a weird season, something we'll probably never experience again, but it was enjoyable. For me, it was able to go to the arena and no fans was a little bit different, but just to play the North Division and all that, it was just it was a crazy fun time, and I had a blast covering this team, second in the division. And yes, I know the playoffs didn't work out the way we all wanted it to be, a longer run, but guys, it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be disappointed. It will pass just like everything else, and then we'll be excited once again for the draft and for free agency. And once next September rolls around, hopefully we're back to normal times and through this pandemic, and we'll all be excited once again and hoping for the Oilers to make a run at the Stanley Cup. Thank you once again. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode, kind of the a debrief of the Oilers season and look ahead to the off season. Hit me up on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. Don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite app for all the latest episodes. For my man Juanito and the Locked On Oilers podcast, I am Hernan the Man, talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll chat tomorrow.